Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
I'm jumping straight into the message. You're going to notice that there's some music behind me. I meant to have that there, so don't freak out and think that somebody's not doing their job. But we are celebrating freedom today. Amen. If you would, do me a favor and turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I told you I'm going to try to get you. My goal is to go from 10 to 11. I made it by 1 minute last time. I did it. And I'm trying to do it again. Amy, you're going to have to help me keep on. I got 25 minutes. Woo, Lord Jesus, help me. I'll preach fast if y'all listen fast. Deal? Okay, listen. Because we've still got baptism to go. We got communion to go. I want to give you Galatians 5:1 says this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Let's pray. God, let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let us represent you well in everything we do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I want to talk to you today about living free. Living free. Here's some 4th of July facts that I want to give you real quick. Some 4th of July facts that I want to give you. That I'm going to turn that down just a little bit. Some 4th of July facts that I want to give you that you may not know. Everybody remembers the picture of Betsy Ross sewing the American flag, right? You remember that there were 13 stars and they were in a circle. You know the reason that they were in a circle? It wasn't just because the forefathers looked and said, well, that looks cool, let's just do that. They could have done a star. They could have done a pentagram. They could have done. I'm glad they didn't. But they could have done. They could have done a trapezoid. They could have done a rhombus. And I'm just coming up with stuff now. I don't even know what these things are. But they could have done anything that they wanted to. But they did it in a circle because they wanted it. They wanted it to represent all of the colonies as if they were equals, equidistant from the center. They wanted them to represent it equal. Did you know that the first Independence Day celebration was not on 4th of July? It was actually on July the 8th in Philadelphia, July the 8th, 1776. This was also the first day, the day that the Declaration of Independence was read in public after people were summoned by the ringing of the Liberty Bell. I thought that was a cool little thing. You know, every 4th of July, this is not in my notes, but every 4th of July, they also have a tradition where they go to the Freedom Bell or the Liberty Bell, and they would tap it. They don't ring it now, but they tap it 13 times on the 4th of July to represent the original 13 colonies. Now, here's one that's a little bit funny. Everybody knows our national bird, right? What is it? The bald eagle, majestic, beautiful. I've seen them up close and personal, and the talons are huge. They're awesome. They're big, magnificent, awe-inspiring. Did you know that our national bird was almost not the bald eagle? Do you know what it was? The turkey. A turkey. All of y'all knew that. Y'all are smarter than me. Y'all knew that. I was sitting there researching this week, just some little tidbits, and it said that Benjamin Franklin suggested that we use the turkey instead. And I'm sitting there going, why in the world a turkey? People shoot turkeys. People shoot turkeys for food. I don't want to be a turkey. Okay, I thought it was funny. But the thing is, And he was overruled by the others, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who recommended the bald eagle. Now we need to celebrate our freedom, amen. We need to celebrate our freedom. Many men and women have fought, bled, sacrificed, even paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we celebrate here in the United States. I love the United States. I love what we are able to do. The reason why we're able to come to this building is because of the sacrifice that many have given. This 4th of July, I hope that you go to your house or to your friend's house, your family's house. I hope you cook a ton of meat and a ton of food. I hope that you get to swim as much as you want. I hope that you play games and have fun. I hope you shoot as much fireworks as you can and blow something up for Jesus, okay, or for your freedom. Blow something up. And I hope especially that I get invited to eat some of the food later on. Told you, it makes into every message. But I encourage you to take a moment to remember those who did sacrifice so much for what we celebrate. Understand, it's not about fireworks. It's not about food. It's not about ball games. It's not about any of that. It's about the fact that we are no longer held captive. Oh, y'all catching what I'm throwing down now? Listen. Come Wednesday night, we want you to come and we want you to help us celebrate here. We want you to help us celebrate those things here, but I feel today is a perfect day to remind us of the freedom that has been provided to us. Not as Americans, not because of our nationality, not because of our race, not because of our gender or anything else other than the love of God and a Savior who thought we were worth it all. That's the freedom I want to celebrate today. We're celebrating freedom. We're going to talk about living free. How many of you are glad you're free? Very briefly, I want to share with you two very important truths and one very powerful call to action. One very powerful call of action for all that call the name of Jesus as their Savior. After I share this, we're going to celebrate spiritual freedom by celebrating the Lord's Supper and by also celebrating with those that are going to be baptized today. Four incredible people, an entire family, basically, that are going to be baptized in the name of Jesus and brought into the family of God. But truth number one is this. We were all once in bondage. Every person in this room, we were once in bondage. We were in bondage at one time in our lives. The very wording of our text in Galatians 5:1. Some of you are sitting there going, I have never been a slave to nobody. I have never been in bondage to anybody other than my mama when she told me to do something. Listen, that still counts. But listen, the very wording of the text even implies that we were all once under bondage. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It implies that at some point in our lives, at some point in what we do, we were in bondage to something. How can Christ set us free unless we are held captive? That's just simple logic. Sometimes, some of us, it was by our own fleshly nature. I know I've been there. We've been in bondage to our fleshly nature. Our flesh seeks only to serve itself and to please itself. Romans 7:23 says, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Prisoner of the law of sin. Prisoner of my flesh. Prisoner of who I am. Prisoner of this thing right here. We are bound by that. Where we were at one point. Our flesh fights against our spiritual nature, desiring only to satisfy itself. My body's not worried about whether you get food or not. My body's worried about me getting food. My body's not worried about you feeling good. My body's worried about me feeling good. My flesh is not worried about my or about your mental state of mind or your mental state. It's worried about its own mental state. That's my flesh. You don't have to teach a child certain things, right? You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. One of the first words that children learn is mama. Mama, 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 mama. If you're one of my kids, the second word is ball, ball, ball. Third word is dad. But eventually they get around to a certain word. Mine. They end up sounding like the little seagulls from the movie Finding Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child to lie. All you got to do is ask them something that they know is wrong, and they will lie to save face in a heartbeat. I was one of those kids that did that. If you didn't, Lord bless you and keep you and make you holy. But that's just the way that it goes with children. Our flesh always seeks to preserve itself. We can be held captive by our flesh. We can also be held captive by our past. Now we start to get into people's business. We can be held captive by our past. It comes back to haunt us and torment us. I can't tell you of how many times, even this morning while I was sitting back there preparing some digital stuff, there were things that were trying to come back into my mind of things that I've done in my past that I'm not proud of, and things that the enemy tries to remind me of things from my past, and it tries to hold on to me. It tries to throw those chains back on me. The enemy tends to remind us of our failures and our mistakes. Constantly. Anybody else feel that? You get reminded constantly. Even the pain of our past can be a stranglehold on our lives. Something that was done to you that is no fault of your own. An abuse that happened. A word that was said. A hand that struck you or touched you inappropriately. It can hold on to you. And it will impact the rest of your life if you're held captive by it. We can be held captive by our flesh. We can be held captive by our past, but we can also be held captive by the law. Now, when I say the law, what I mean the law, I'm not talking about the speed limit's 55 out here. If you go over it, you're going to die or anything like that. I'm talking about the laws in the law of God, the word of God. This might be the main thrust of the author in this scripture that we're reading today. Teachers at the time were teaching that. They were teaching against the teaching of the disciples where Jesus is enough. And when they're telling, well, it's good that you've got Jesus, but you need to go back and obey the Mosaic law too. You need to be circumcised, and you got to pay attention to these over 600 laws in the religious world that this thing's falling off. You got to pay attention to those 600 laws in the Mosaic law to be saved. Some people today are held captive to tradition and law, believing that if I do this or if I do that, and if I'm good enough, then God will love me enough. If I'm good enough, God will love me enough. Even in marriages, you know, I don't love her, I don't love my wife because of what she can do for me. I love her because I love her. She could do all kinds of things wrong. It's not going to change the fact that I love her. My kids can do all kinds of things wrong. It doesn't change the fact that I love them. They could fall away from God. They could do whatever. And I would still love them with a love that is an everlasting love. It's not conditional on on anything. That's the way God loves us. It doesn't matter what we do. He still loves us. Our salvation does not come from ourselves. Who we are and what and the law cannot, the law is not supposed to hinder the love that we give God. And when we do it out of obligation, that's what it does. Understand today that each of us was once in bondage. Youngest to oldest, biggest to smallest, educated or ignorant, it doesn't really matter. We have all been subject to captivity, and some of us don't even realize we're still captives. Story about something called the elephant rope, I'm sure you've heard. There was a man that was taking a tour of a facility with animals, and he was amazed at the fact that these elephants were walking around, and they were there, and all they had tethering them to where they were supposed to be was a very thin, small rope. A very thin, small rope attached to a stake that was in the ground. But it was only in the ground like 2 or 3 inches. And he was amazed at the fact that the elephants did not pull loose or break the rope or pull the stake out. And he asked the trainer, he asked the person, the caretaker, why is it that these elephants don't move? Why don't they just break loose? And the trainer looked at him and said, well, when they were very, 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 very young, We put that rope around them, and it was enough to hold them still. And we staked it into the ground, and they could not pull out. And they grew up with that rope around their leg. They grew up thinking, this is here to keep me in this area. This is stronger than I am. It's stronger than anything I can do to pull loose. And some of y'all may be thinking where I'm going here. Listen, when they tried to pull out when they were little, they couldn't pull it out. But as they grew, they were strong enough to, but they had become so accustomed to the captivity that they still believe it holds too much power for them. And they can't pull loose. Some of us are still letting our past hold us in place, even though God has given us power to pull loose. Some of us are letting the law and the fact that we want to be good enough and say the right thing and do the right thing and be the best person. And we think that that is the reason why we need to stay where we are. We can't pull loose when God has given us the power through his son Jesus Christ and through his blood to completely obliterate the traditions and to have relationship instead. Some of us, we think our flesh is too powerful for us. But it's not. We need to understand we are no longer held captive because of the price that was paid. See, we can sit there and we can say, I'm stuck where I'm at. I'm stuck in this place and I'm a captive. But that brings me to truth number two. Truth number one is we've all been in bondage, but truth number two is Christ is the only one that can set us free. See, if we try to do the right things and we try to be the right person, we're trying to save ourselves and we're trying, no amount of effort, strength, or good deeds that we try and muster within our own selves will ever be enough to free ourselves. That's why it says in Galatians in our text, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ set us free. Somebody say that. Christ has set us free. Christ himself declared his purpose in Luke 4. We've been studying this with the students. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim what? Freedom. Somebody say freedom. Freedom from the for the prisoners and recovery for the sight for the blind, of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. It was Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the shedding of his blood 2,000 years ago that offers us freedom today. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. It is because of him that we are free. The same way that the soldiers fought in the Revolutionary War and they bled and they died and they paid prices, they suffered rejection and atrocities, public humiliation and pain to birth the nation of the United States. Jesus Christ suffered all of that and more so that you could be born into the family of God. And so that you could be free from your past, so that you could be free from the law, so that you could be free from your flesh. Understand that our freedom has already been provided. You don't have to earn the love of God. You only have to accept the offer of his grace and his mercy. Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. You can't do it. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you can't do it. You can't do it. He provides freedom from our flesh, from our past, and from the condemning law. And our call to action is this. And DJ, if you'll go ahead and come up with me. Our call to action is this. We are called to stand firm. DJ and I, when he was growing up, we would mess with each other. And he and I would push against each other at times. And I would get down on my knees and we would push and all that kind of stuff. And he would push. And I would be strong enough to withstand him. I can't do that now. He's a lot stronger than I am. He's a lot younger than I am. He's got a lot more energy than I do. Understand, see, the moral of the story is this. Freedom takes effort. When DJ wanted to push past me, or he wanted to get to something, he had to push as hard as he could when he was younger. And when he was training, and when he had to push as hard as he could. And he would eventually get around me to where he needed to go. The thing is, the same thing happens to us. Freedom just doesn't happen. It's provided to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, but we've got to fight for it. Just because you know who Jesus is, just because you know his blood has covered you, does not mean that the devil's going to stop trying to get you to keep you away from your freedom. He's still going to fight you, and he's still going to go after you. But we have to stand firm. Somebody say, stand firm. Your freedom is paid for, but you got to protect it. Again, Galatians 5:1. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Let me put that in Pastor Aaron version. Don't get pushed around by your flesh, your past, or your traditions. Don't go back to the same things that once held you captive. Stand in your freedom, walk in that freedom, and don't return to what once controlled you. My word for those being baptized today is this. This is not the end of your journey. This is the beginning. Just because you didn't get dunked in a tub full of water does not mean the devil's going to leave you alone. As a matter of fact, it puts a target on your back. Because he wants to come after you. The enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But understand, when you stand firm, you don't stand alone. That's what this baptism is about. You don't stand alone. You stand with the host of the armies of heaven, who is more powerful than any weapon that is formed against you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Not only that, but you stand with a group of a family of believers in this room that is here to lift you up and encourage you and to help you withstand the darts of the enemy. If you're with me, say I am.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com, and make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you be